Ready for something new. I'm ready for a new year. But here we are. Amen. Aren't you glad that God is still God? What a messed up world we live in. And we look at, as we start out this year, boy, I hear everybody say, man, I hope it's better than last year. And, well, it may not be. You know, we started out last year thinking, wow, what's going to happen in 2020? It's a year of vision. Well, it was a year of vision for us, for sure. Opened our eyes to a whole new world. This year, as we start off, we do not know what's going to be ahead of us. But we do know that God is God. And we know that He's in control. And that it's not all about this world and what's going on in this world, but God Himself. Our title this week is, Where to Draw the Line in This New Year? Drawing a line. We think about that. It's a point of setting a boundary for ourselves of how far, what we'll do, where we'll go, where we won't go. And we're going to look at that today. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12. The Bible says, All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Chapter 10 and verse 23, again he says, All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let's pray. Father, thank you once again for this time that we can gather in this place in your name. May you be exalted and glorified and magnified here today. May you strengthen each heart and each hearer, each one who dives into your word and lets you lead them and guide them. And Lord, I pray for each person. You know each one. You know their needs, their desires, their pains, what's going on in their lives. And Father, I pray that your word would speak to each one of us today. Help us to bring honor and glory to you. Help us to magnify the name of Jesus Christ. Help us to be what we need to be for you. Give us the guidance and direction and correction and instruction that we need. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your patience with us. Be with all those that are sick or not feeling well today, those that are traveling, and those that have to stay home. And Lord, that you'd touch them, each one, and bless them in a special way. And thank you, Lord, for being with us all and giving us the privilege of coming before your throne and worshiping Almighty God. And we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, the beginning of a year is a new time to make changes. It's a good time to make changes in your life. You hear people making New Year's resolutions and plans for what they're going to do this year. And even though we've been knocked off course a little bit in our routines, it's still a good thing to examine ourself and look at where we are in our life, what we are doing, the ways we're responding, looking at life in general for each one of us. When we look at this, it's a good time. The beginning of a year is a good time to become aware of personal sin. We can get complacent in this world, if we're not careful, recognizing and realizing what sin is out there, because sin abounds so plentifully out there in our world today, it's so easy to get tangled up or mixed into. And I think it's something we need to be careful on, because the Bible tells us and reminds us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone finds himself in need of salvation. And when we have realize that and accept that changes our life. But our enemy out there wants us to not be free from that. He wants us to be involved and active and setting us off course, setting us to where we do not respond. And God's word is what keeps bringing us back and keeps us strong. It's also a good time, beginning of a year is a good time to learn about God's love. Remembering what sin and the power that sin has when we allow it. But we need to remember the love of God. Romans 5:8 reminds us, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loves us so much that he provides for us, even though we are unworthy. But this is also a good time to respond to that love that God has provided for us by receiving Christ as Savior. For any that have never received Christ as their Savior, the beginning of a year, why not start fresh with the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible reminds us in Romans 10:9-10, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We need to acknowledge sin. We need to acknowledge the love of God, but we need to acknowledge that God has provided for us. And that is something that we need to take with us every day all through the year, thanking God for our salvation if we have received it. If we have not, then coming to him for that salvation. You know, it's also a good time to have a closer daily walk with Jesus. And a daily walk is the way to do it, because we can make a plan. Well, in September, I'm going to be doing this, but we may not make it that far. But I have today. I have right now. And our plan needs to be involved in the present as well. Making a plan to walk with Jesus. Yesterday, maybe you messed up. Maybe something happened yesterday. Maybe you didn't get into your Bible or didn't pray or something that you normally do and you got thrown off course, something happened. Start fresh every day. The Lord is with us every day. Amen? So one way to have a closer walk is to draw a line on questionable activities. Things that, I'm not sure about this. The Bible teaches us right and wrong. The Bible teaches us what God expects and what he wants us to shun and stay away from. And we need to, in our own lives, in our own personal life, have a place where we draw the line on certain things, certain issues. And God puts that on our hearts. God shows us and God leads us through his word. And in our text, we see Paul promoting and teaching this very concept. Just because it's legal doesn't mean it's what we should do. Just because others do it doesn't mean it's what we should do. So we take our standard that God gives to us through his word, and we look at that standard and say, this is as far as I'm supposed to go. So we need to learn to draw those lines and set those boundaries in our lives. So the first point is to draw the line on anything that is not expedient. Draw the line on anything that is not expedient. Paul reminds us that the Christian life is a new life. A new life. When we think about that new, the Bible talks about the new man, new creation. And it is a new life. It is a life that was condemned and on its way to hell. And then because of receiving Christ as Savior, it is now reborn and given spiritual birth, and now is a new life. So those of you that have received Christ as your Savior have experienced that new birth, that new man, that new person. And Paul reminds us of this new life. Back again in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, let's look at 9 through 11. Paul says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. He reminds us that, you know, such were some of us, such were some of you. That's who we were. It's not who we are. And he reminds us of that. The old man and the new man that the Bible talks about. But he says, but now are we washed, made clean. Now are we sanctified, set apart. Now are we justified, seen as righteous. Now we are that new man, that new creation in Christ. So Paul reminds of this new life. And he says with that then, all things are lawful. Because of who we are in Christ, we are made free. We are pulled out from that bondage that sin puts upon us. And we're made free. And he says, all things are lawful. So we are at liberty to do many things. God gives us the ability to make choices, to do things, and have the liberty to do so. But we've got to be careful with that, because as he continues on, just because we have liberty doesn't mean we should. Okay? Just because somebody comes and sets a bowl of chocolates in front of you does not mean you should eat the whole bowl, right? I mean, we make that choice. We make that decision. There's nothing wrong with one chocolate unless you're allergic to it. You know, there's things like that in our life that they may not be bad or evil or wrong, but what we do with them, we have to draw a line. Say, well, I'm going to stop at one. It's like Lay's potato chips, right? Who can eat just one? You know, we have those things, and we have those things in our life that's like that. We have to learn to say, this is enough. This is all I'm going to do. This is as far as I'm going to go. And God does that with his word. God teaches us to live that very way. So all things are lawful, but he goes on to say, but all things are not expedient. All things are not expedient. And that word expedient means profitable or to make better or to come alongside of, to help along. All things then are not a profit to me. All things do not make me better. All things do not help me along. So we need to learn what is going to do those things. And when it goes past the point of helping in that area, when it comes past the point of being expedient, we need to draw the line and say, that's far enough. It's not helping. It's not of any benefit now past this point. We have to realize that not all things contribute to growth in the Christian life. Okay, just like in the physical, all things do not contribute to physical growth. Some things destroy and break down. And part of, again, it's not because it's a bad or evil thing, but sometimes it's just too much of something, or not enough of something. And we have to learn in our spiritual life, in our walk with the Lord, the same concept here. So we need to learn to draw the line because of our love for Jesus. Why would I do that? Why would I say, I don't want to go past this point? Why do I want to examine my life and say, you know, how should I think? How should I respond? Where should I go? Because of our love for Jesus. So to draw a line is to set a no-crossing zone. I'm not going to go past this point. We need, it's another form of discipline ourselves. To allow ourselves to do what God wants us to do, but not to go beyond that. The purpose then is to not dishonor God or to fail to glorify God. We are here to bring honor and glory to Him. Why? Well, 1 Corinthians 6:20 reminds us again, you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. you're bought and paid for as a Christian, as a believer. Then we're to glorify God in our body, with our body. So what we do with our body does matter. In 1 Corinthians 10:30, it says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Pretty clear and straightforward. Whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. How can I do that? By being in His Word, knowing what He expects, having a relationship, personal relationship with the Lord. So we find that the Bible then is the guide that we need and the guide that we have for being able to draw these lines and setting these no crossing zones. The Bible teaches us and directs us how far to go, what to stay away from, what to jump into, what to listen to and what to not listen to, what to believe and what not to believe. We have all kinds of points of guidance from the Word of God. That's why it's so valuable to us as believers to have the Word of God, to be able to hold the Word of God, to be able to understand what God is telling us and teaching us, to know not only what has happened in the past, but what is coming in the future. But in the meantime, living here in the world in accordance with the Word of God, and like I've mentioned, to learn how far to go and how far not to go in the things that God has for us. We need to remember, as it teaches us in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's breathed out from God. God has given it to us to know. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished in all good works. We find in this passage that the Word of God is profitable for these things. In other words, it causes a gain in us. It causes us to increase in the things of God. Every year I encourage people at the beginning of the year to take on the challenge of reading through the Bible. And we have tables in the back there that help to promote that and help you to check off little amounts that you have read every day and encourage you to challenge yourself to be in God's Word and reading through the Word of God. It's valuable. It's vital to us as Christians to be able to grow. So the first point is draw the line on anything that is not expedient. If it's not expedient, if it's not going to be profitable to you, if it is not going to make you better, make you a better person, if it's not going to help you along in your relationship with the Lord, then you need to mark that and say, I'm only going this far. I'm only going to be stretched this far. Let the Lord set those boundaries in your life, how far to go, where to draw the line. So draw the line on anything that is not expedient. The second point is to draw the line on anything that enslaves. Well, obviously, we wouldn't want to be enslaved. We think about that. We look at the biblical captivities of the people, and we think of being a slave and what it would be like to be a slave, and we think, well, we don't ever want to be a slave. But all of us have been a slave. We've all been a slave to sin. Before we accepted Christ as our Savior, we were entangled with sin. We were in bondage to sin. So we have been. All of us have experienced that slavery that comes along with being controlled by the enemy. So we understand. So why would we go back and be again entangled with that? Well, we don't consciously, but sometimes subconsciously or by what we allow in our life, we entangle ourselves again with this world, and we have to be careful with that. So draw a line on anything that would cause that bondage or that enslaving. We must understand that there is a wonderful freedom that comes to us because of Jesus Christ. Because of what He has done for us, what He is doing in our lives. In John 8:36 it says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." It is not just a comment that we are free, but we are free indeed. Because Jesus Himself makes us free. He sets us free. And in Galatians 5:1 it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." We see this example in both of these places. To stand fast, to stand firm in that liberty or that freedom that we have in Christ. But he says in Galatians to not be entangled again, implying that we were once entangled, to not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What's the purpose of the yoke? To control. So that bondage then controls. So he's telling us, don't be entangled again with that. You're made free in Christ. Live in that freedom. Paul said, "I will not be brought under the power of any." We think about that. Who has power over God? No one. God is the ultimate power. God is all power. There are forces of power in the world. There's spiritual power. There's political power. There's financial power. There's all kinds of power in our world today. And we can become entangled with those if we're not careful. But what we must understand is there is a greater power that is above all of these powers, and His name is Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that all power is given unto Him. It means He has authority over all of it. Paul said, "All things are in my power, but I will not be brought under the power of any of them." We are given power in our own life. Of what we will allow and will not allow. We make that choice. We think, well, I have to do it. Well, when you stand before God, you will be accountable for the choices that you have made. What did you choose to do? What were your options? Well, sometimes we ignore our options and just say, well, I had to. The flesh can sometimes speak loudly. But what we have to realize is, what is God telling us? What is God showing us? What is God saying to each one of us? All things are in my power, Paul said. I'm able, but I will not be brought under the power of. We see in Paul's life that the Roman government was a power over him. He was a Roman citizen, but he was also a Jew, and we find that as such, he was under the law of the Roman government. And we see that it cost him a few times as he was imprisoned and as he was beaten and being under that authority. So what's he talking about here? I will not be brought under the power of any of them. That means he ultimately answers to God. In everything, Paul had said, I am commanded both to be full and to be hungry, to be fine and to have a need. Why? Because he had learned that in whatever state, condition he was in, to be content. Why? Because he could do that because of God. He did not have to be in that bondage. And he encouraged all believers, and God's word encourages today, don't be entangled again with that. Romans 6:16 reminds us to examine those things that come through our thoughts, come through our hearts. It says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Who do you yield yourself servant to obey? Who do we listen to? Who is God? Who are we serving? The Bible says, to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey. In other words, whoever we listen to, whoever we respond to, then we are servants to that one. If we listen to God, we're servants to God. If we listen to the flesh, then we're servants of the flesh. Just because we can doesn't mean we should. Just because we have the liberty to do something does not mean we should. This is where God's grace jumps all over us. And he reminds us that such were some of you. You know, it's sometimes I've seen Christians get really rough and harsh on sinful situations. We have to remember, where would I be if it wasn't for the love of God? Where would I be if it wasn't for the grace of God? How different would I be? Just because we can. What makes that deciding factor? It's our relationship with God. God's showing us from His Word, this is what I want you to do and this is what I don't want you to do. That we can stand on. That is secure. Paul had liberty to do a lot of things. He had the liberty to go to eat meat that the Jews said was not to be eaten. Can you imagine not having crab? Or shrimp, or pork, or the things that the law said you could not eat. Well, where'd that come from? God told them that. Why? Because God was showing them the law, teaching them the law. So when Paul came out of that, did he eat that? If the Gentiles put it before him, he blessed it and he ate it. Why? Because God was going to take care of it. God had given him that freedom to do that. Was it a practice? He probably stayed away from. He did not intend on that. But I can guarantee you, when you read about in the Bible, the Gentiles ate pork all the time. And so there was a dividing point between the Gentiles and the Jews just in food. But Paul said, if it offends my brother, I will not eat meat at all. So he was willing to take that step and say, doesn't matter. What does God say? What does God want me to do? Just because we can does not mean that we should. You know, there's a lot of things that are legal that will enslave you. Just because it's legal, just because it's the law says we can, will still put us in bondage. We have to watch that. We have to be careful with that. And you know, automatically people think of addictive things, but there is a lot of things out there besides drugs and alcohol and those type of things that are addictive. There's a lot of, there's power that's addictive. There's financial power that's addictive. There's physical addictions that are mental that we push ourselves to do. We have to be careful that we don't come under the enslavement of these powers, because God is in control. What does God want me to do? How does God want me to respond? We have to realize that anything you can be addicted to has the power to enslave you. Anything that you can be addicted to has the power to take control of you. I choose to be addicted to God. Why? It's the greatest power there is. And if I'm going to be under the power of something, why not be under the power of the best thing? Instead of something destroying me, breaking me down, it builds me up. It strengthens me. As we look back, it's expedient to build up. It removes us from being a slave. God empowers us with His power. So don't let things become your master. Don't let things become your master. What kind of things have control of you? What kind of things are telling you what to do? What kind of things are going to determine your future? Your health? Don't let things become your master. Let God be your master. Draw the line then on anything that will enslave you, that will break you down. Learn to look for those things and not allow them in your life. The third point is to draw the line on anything that does not edify. Anything that does not edify. Again, in 1 Corinthians 10:23, Paul said, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not." So he's teaching us here this other concept that all things do not edify. Not everything edifies. Not everything builds up. And that's what that word edify means, is to build up from the foundation. Everything does not build up from the foundation. It means to promote growth in Christian wisdom, in Christian affection, in grace, in virtue, in holiness, to build up. Well, how do I build up? Most of the time we think, well, how do I build myself up? That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about you building you up. He's talking about you building everybody else up. And if everybody is doing what they're supposed to be doing, then somebody will be building you up. Because that's the way that God designed it. So who are we to build up? The next verse, 1 Corinthians 10:24, says, "Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth." Now when you first look at that, it's like, well, I don't want to spend my money. I want to spend your money. That's not what that's talking about. Okay, it's not seeking somebody else's wealth. It's looking into their betterment, making them better, giving them so that they will increase. Let every one of us, Romans 5:15-12, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Encouraging, building up, strengthening. Romans 14:19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. Over and over again we see that we are to edify. We are to build one another up. We are to strengthen. So we need to learn to draw the line on things that do not edify. If it's going to tear somebody down, what are things that can tear people down? Gossip, bitterness, anger. All of those things are what? Those are all works of the flesh. Those are all things that we can become entangled with if we're not careful. And what happens is we start downgrading and cutting others down. And that's not what the Bible teaches us. That's not what the Bible tells us to do. We are to build one another up. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Let no corrupt. Corrupt means it is corrosive, it's destructive. Let no destructive communication proceed out of your mouth. Don't let the words that you speak tear down, but let them build up. He tells us, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Words can build up. Words can tear down. He's telling us very bluntly here to use good words. Use the right words. Encourage and build up. Do we always do that? No, we don't. And that's one of the areas that I think we can implement drawing a line in. Learning to close our mouth quick enough to not say the things that we shouldn't say. And replace those things with edification, that it may minister grace to the hearers. What kind of grace? God's grace. Words from God. What would God have me to say to this person? How would God have me to say it? You know, so many times we, in the flesh, respond in the flesh. And it comes out wrong. It comes out bad. Because we didn't let God do it through us. And we think back, man, I wish I'd have said that different. I wish I'd have used some different words there. I wish I wouldn't have even opened my mouth. And, you know, we need to learn to draw that line and say, you know what? It's better to not say anything than to speak words that break somebody else down. Draw the line on anything that does not edify. So we need to draw that line where edification will stop. If it's going to stop at that point, when you get angry at somebody, we sometimes don't use the right words. And it's better to just stop right there. There's all kinds of examples, but I think every one of us have experienced it enough in our own lives to realize what I'm talking about here. Be careful with that. Be careful with that word usage. And learn to draw that line where it starts breaking down. Encouragement, truth, but to encourage to build, encourage to grow, encourage in the Lord. So we need to ask ourselves these three questions. Does it help me along my Christian life? That help me in my Christian life? Is what I'm thinking about doing going to help my Christian life? Is it going to help my families as to see Christ? Is it going to help my coworkers to see Christ? Does it build upon the foundation that has been started, Christ being that chief cornerstone? Will it allow me to remain free, or will it become my master? When I look at these things in my life, these things that's out in front of me, will it allow me to remain free, or is it going to control me? Is it going to take over in my life? Well, most people don't think that, well, it's going to take over. I can handle it. I can control it. And we've seen how that turns out in man's life. We need to learn to draw the line and say, this is as far as I can go. If I go any further, it can take over. And we need to learn that. And third, does it build up others? Is what I'm thinking about doing going to build anybody up? Going to encourage anyone? Is it going to help anyone along in their Christian walk? Does it edify? You know, the new year is a good time to draw some lines for your Christian life. As we start this year, start setting some boundaries. Start setting some of those guidelines. You know, I'm not going to go any further than this. God's Word says to do it this way. We need to learn to follow God's Word, to be obedient to God's Word, to listen to God's Word, to be able to draw these lines in our life and set those boundaries so that we stay within the area that God wants us to be in. Amen? Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for this place you've given us. And may you continue to guide us and strengthen us and help us to be drawn closer and closer to you. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your patience with us. And Lord, for any that might be listening today that have never received you as Savior, that today they might call upon your name for salvation, that they might cry out to you as they acknowledge their need to be saved, that they would ask you to come into their heart and save them, ask for that forgiveness of sin, and experience that new birth, that new creation. For the Christians today, Lord, that you would guide them into your word and into the directions that you have for each one. To learn how to set those boundaries, to draw the line. And that would be based on their relationship with you and your word. Help each one of us, Lord, to edify and to encourage and to build one another. It's so easy to tear others down with words and actions. But Lord, let us not do that. Let us build up instead. And thank you, Lord, for showing us how to, for giving us your word to teach us what we need to do and how we need to respond. Thank you, Lord, for being here with us today. And may you be exalted and magnified in each heart here today. In Jesus' name, amen. In these moments,